Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call it Baltimore Positive. And you know, if I'm wearing my Oilers throwback, this is going to be a fun one. We have Raven Scratchoffs in the Maryland Lottery running it better than Derrick Henry. And I got my Derrick Henry. I'm sporting my Love You Blue. But my Love You Purple is also up for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. No matter their record, no matter how the bye week goes, Luke will be there. I will be there. I hope you've enjoyed my letter to John Harbaugh, which comes right from the heart. And I actually referenced this Derrick Henry jersey as a man of accountability, even if he's fumbled the football. I think they'll give him the football, and I think they'll be 7-7 in about 8 or 9 weeks. So that's my prediction for the head coach who thinks I hate him. But I don't hate him. I love the Ravens, and I love the Oilers even more. And I love throwback stuff. And I think I've lived long enough now that everyone who's old enough, even if you're not an art fart, like, and you didn't have Art 101 with Joyce Bucci and Dude Degas and Do the Coen Sisters, and even if you haven't been to the Van Gogh Museum or didn't even see the movie or anything like that, I am much more artsy and much more attracted to the lights of Las Vegas and the balloons of the Fiesta of New Mexico than I would lead to believe. And I love throwback Padres and Oilers stuff. So when I met Todd Radom on the internet a few years ago, I said, this guy writes books about jerseys. He designs Super Bowl logos, logos of teams. Some of them he's been a partner in recent times where I've hammered him and said, that's ugly. And other times we've just agreed that the Houston Oilers jersey and this kit, especially with the silver helmets in the 60s, if you go back to Blanda, one of the all-time great kits. Todd, it's always a pleasure to welcome you in from the fighting city of brotherly love in Fishtown, Philadelphia, and all of that stuff. But what really brought me to you, obviously our friendship, bye week, my team sucks, we're 1-5, the World Series is on, and all of that, was a week and a half ago, they did throwback, and sometimes they throw up, and sometimes they're, I don't know what those Commanders things were the other night. They're throw somewhere. But then I see the Falcons running around with the Tommy Nobis jerseys the other night. But what really did it for me was a week and a half ago, because Chad Steele took my press pass. It's a long story. You can read about it. I'm subjected to watching games on television. And when I saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running around with Baker Mayfield, and then I saw Jim Zorn and Steve Largent on the other side, and they were doing their thing. I said to my wife, I'm like, they're wearing their 1976 throwbacks from the first year. My wife's like, you speak in like another language. And I'm like, yeah, they were expansion. And Tampa played in the AFC and Seattle played in the NFC and they played at Memorial Stadium. And I went to when the Buccaneers played and it was Burt Jones. We kicked their ass. And she's like, eh. And then here's where she gets impressed, bro, is when NFL Red Zone Hansen Scott, who I knew when he worked here, he's like, and of course they're wearing the 1976 throwback. She looks at me. She's like, dude, you're like a savant or something. Like, you're stupid about this stuff. And I'm like, this is when I got to call Radom. So that's, I guess, why we're friends, dude. And that's why
Yeah,
our
that's it.
wives and us went to breakfast down at Blue Moon too here and had a good time, you know?
And
So.
you wore a Padres jersey, a Tony Gwynn Padres jersey, brown and yellow, like UPS
You
nested.
remember what I wore to breakfast? I don't.
Well, not a lot of people I have breakfast with are wearing a throwback Tony Gwynn jersey, but you're right. If you know, as the saying goes, and those who get it, get it. And Nestor, I can't help but think that we are in peak uniform right now. Our sports uniforms
It's like
and
cherry
the
blossom week, right? Kind of, sort of.
well, I don't know. I mean they move at such a rapid pace and they're year round that I can't help but thinking about having appeared on ESPN College Game Day back in I think it was 2011 and they did a fashion runway and the Oregon Ducks and the University of Maryland Terps were out there.
Stole the show, right? They were forward thinkers.
And that was a really unusual thing. But now the rapidity with which our teams, roll out new uniforms, it kind of reflects our collective scrolling and just the way things move.
Todd, I just got to say, there's so much I want to say to you. And now you like know my wife a little bit, makes it even more interesting. You've had a cheesesteak and a French toast, which made my tastiness count down. So
Baltimore, Philly, you know, we're very similar.
we're right on the train tracks here. We're one tasty cake and a schmitz and a crab cake away from fixing things, and a pretzel, which also made my list. Literally, I night before last, Monday night, as we tape this. There were three games on. So there was two football and one baseball. And my wife looked up and she saw the Mariners and she's like, "Are they wearing their throwbacks?" I'm like, "No. The throwbacks are Bruce Bochy and the thing that was upside down
The
and
Tri-Guys.
yeah, the Rupert the Bruce Bochy and Rupert Jones thing
Yep.
and Floyd Bannister." And I'm like, she's like, "That teal. I bought a teal hat when Ken Griffey played for the Mariners." And I'm thinking, I sat next to him in the dugout when in the home run derby and when he wore it with the hat backwards and the kid and like all that. Like, they in the playoffs, they just mix and match. I'm expecting the Blue Jays to look like Paul Molitor or Dave Steeb a minute and a half from now, or Geddy Lee, and we could talk about the Rush tour too. But they just break them out anytime, right? And when you have a dozen of them, like the Diamondbacks or like the Padres, you sort of do whatever you want, right? I mean, I guess because you own the closet and the markings. But I looked up and Tommy Nobis is playing for the Falcons, went red helmets. And I'm thinking, look, I'm a Jerry Glanville guy as I wear this oil. Jerry Glanville screwed up the Falcons when Dion came. They had such a beautiful kit,
Oh
like
yeah.
going to that black, like now, the
But they
red.
never won. And you know, there's always a this reason to shake things up, and these days especially to go backwards in time to kind of harken back to what I call, you know, a more comfortable era. Some comfort food. Everybody loves a big heaping bowl of mashed potatoes. But Nestor, I've got to interject and say that, you know, you talked about that beautiful, beautiful matchup between the Seahawks and the Bucks, the creamsicles, which were reviled by most people, you know, in the mid-90s, let's say, when they
As was
changed.
powder blue every time I walked into the dog pound or I
Yeah.
walked into Three River Stadium or the vet wearing this in 1987 and saying,
Yeah.
"Warren Moon, run and shoot." They would look at me and say, "What's wrong with you wearing that powder blue in Buffalo? What's wrong with you?"
Well, you know, so here you go. Talk about powder blue. The Phillies break out their powder blue
Don't they look good?
alternates,
They lost, but didn't they
and they
look good?
lost.
They
Right.
look
But
good,
they
didn't
love,
they?
you know, people here in this city love them. And, you know, clearly younger people, which is a lot of people at my point in life, love them. And they never saw them in person when they were actually in the regular rotation. But you talk about seeing the 1976 Bucks Seahawks matchup. The Blue Jays and Mariners entered the American League as expansion brothers in 1977. It would be pretty awesome to see them out there in 1977 throwbacks. The pullovers for the Blue Jays with the symmetrical Blue Jay head right here, right? And the lettering and the Mariners with the trident. But it's funny, Nestor, you know, an American League Championship Series, or in the case of the Phillies, a division series. The postseason, it seems to me, Super Bowl, NBA playoffs, whatever you want to talk about, should be kind of an elevated regular occasion, if you
I
know what I
love it.
mean.
I mean, I loved looking up. I'm in a Vegas casino and I looked up and the Phillies are playing the Dodgers and it looked like Pete Rose and Ron Say were out there. You know what I
But
mean?
how about the Chicago Cubs in 2016 overcoming 108 years of whatever you want to call it, a billy goat curse, bad baseball, bad decisions, whatever. And they win the World Series wearing these alternate uniforms. It seemed, I don't know, a little bit unspecial.
Well, I mean, it's because you're an artist. And so let's get to the core of this. Because I mean, like, I'm not, we could sit here and say this is ugly and this is pretty or
Yeah,
whatever.
very subjective.
And I'm glad you brought the Phillies up because I really, when I saw their bubble pea powder blues that they wore at Memorial Stadium in 1983 when they came in here with Sarge and Gary Maddux and Steve Carlton and
The
all that
Wheeze
stuff, right?
Kids,
And
right?
the great Bo Diaz. So for me, I and Sisto. See, I have a Sisto Lescano Phillies Bubble P 83 throwback that sees the war an old timers game here. So like I own that. It's a little big on me. I try to get things that fit me these days, and not, you know, I wear that. I don't want to look like David Byrne in the Talking Heads, although it's a great movie. I would just say this. I want to get to the art part, and I had invited Rasig kind of too late to get him in here. But you guys that went to school for this and fashion and design, it struck me. And I'm going to make two really weird statements and let you be the professor in this, because I'm just a silly student who likes what I like, right? The Phillies, I started thinking about a guy my age who was a Phillies fan at that time in my life. I love the Phillies. I love the Fanatic. I love National League. I like fake grass, all of that, circle stadiums, all things I didn't have when I was a kid. And pitchers hitting, all that kind of stuff. I think about the Phillies, and when they went, when Schilling got there in 93, and they went to the 1950 sort of Robin Roberts, Richie Ashburn kind of look, I thought that that was so sexy from the baseball cards in the 50s that I, you know, and I don't think the Phillies have ever had an ugly jersey. Like I think they've really done a tasteful job. They're kind of weird and they're blue and they were retro and forward and whatever. Even their maroons that they busted out that look like spring
Blood
training.
clots, blood clots.
I thought they looked strong in the maroon, you know what I mean? And that being said, I see teams like the Falcons that have screwed up their Tommy Nobis, or even like the Chargers that have had a lot of different things. But then I see the Falcons with that ATL, that RoboCop future looking thing that they wear. And I see a lot of college teams, and certainly the NBA has. You and I talked at length about I don't recognize the brands, the look. There's nothing that's recognizable about a lot of the brands other than the Celtics and the Lakers that don't screw with it, and kind of the way the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Tigers don't screw with it in baseball. The mindset of an artist and you teaching me how that ATL with young black hip hop culture and this and that and post this and that and who be, that they could sell more of that in Atlanta than they can sell Tommy Nobis, and I'll hear that, right? But to my old man eyes, it's one thing. But I'm wondering all of these designs when they literally look like ketchup or look they, it clashes these color rushes to a point of being, isn't that ugly to everyone? To my mind, not just. Well, that's a little futuristic, and maybe the kids get it, or maybe I don't get it because my hair's too short or long, or I'm too old, or I'm too square, like you, whatever it is. But I see a lot of things that are like weird, and still think, hey, that's kind of cool. That's kind. I saw the Brew Crew thing. All the Milwaukee things I'm seeing are interesting to me. They're not all good looking, but they're interesting to me. You're the artist. You're the teacher. If I'm coming to school for this, what are you teaching me about design that makes it work these days?
All right, so a lot to unpack here, but start with form and function, right? So form is about what things look like. Function is the fact that, our uniform should be legible. Your numbers should be legible to referees and umpires and things like that. And yeah, like I said, the word subjective comes to mind because our sensibilities are going to be incredibly different from someone, I don't know, 50 years younger or what have you. But the classics are classics for a reason. I always say that. And the timeless allure of the Yankee pinstripes, yeah, it's associated with all that winning. But that Yankees NY, Nestor, you see people all over the world wearing that. And they don't necessarily associate it with Aaron Judge or, Austin Wells or this current whatever, even A-Rod or Jeter, or it's a good-looking mark. And it says New York. Not every team, not every franchise has that. In the case of the Atlanta Falcons, they've pivoted from look to look to look over the last, I don't know, 25 years. But the fact remains, they've never won a Super Bowl. They've been in a couple, right? And so success matters a lot. And sticking with a look, I think the Phillies are a great example. In here in Philly, you've got people who love what they wear. And you've got people who love the throwbacks, and they roll the throwbacks out there once a week, and you kind of have something for everybody without going too far off the grid. You know what I mean? The Phillies look like the Phillies. They don't look Well,
Well,
something
everybody
like.
goes off the grid with the pinks and the military, like the green on St. Patrick's. I mean, whatever. Everybody has something funky that everybody wears 42 or Jackie. I mean, there's all of that that goes on that is a one time, one shot. We're gonna break out Jetsons jerseys or whatever. Then there's a whole like thing where guys like you get involved and do a whole redo. And the Browns wind up with something inevitably that's terrible. I mean,
Browns are going to brown, right?
yeah, Jim Brown's jersey, just wear that, dude. You
Yeah,
look
I
great in
agree.
that.
I agree. I think the best thing that the Browns have done in recent years is to get that drop shadow. It's a very subtle thing, but you close your eyes and you think of the Cleveland Browns, aside from the fact that, yeah, I mean, the tortured history with Baltimore, I totally get. And the fact that they are so inept and roll through the number of quarterbacks they roll through. Put that aside and think about the fact that they play where they play in the Midwest, in the right, and just classic, go with the classics. When you overdo things and you overthink things and you kind of, tail wags dog from a marketing and design perspective, nothing good happens. Look at those Arizona Cardinals. There's another franchise that's bereft. They've never won a Super Bowl, right? All this stuff. They roll out there in these ugly, I think universally kind of, I don't know too many people who like them. Off-white, they look like they hadn't been laundered in a while. Jerseys, what are you doing that
They
for?
watch
What
the
is.
Giant, the San Francisco Giants, and they see that sort of dusty look that looks great on the Giants. Looks like Willie McCovey or Willie Mays, right?
Yeah.
That's also a weird thing. The Padres had sort of an off dusty looking color. My wife looked, she's like, that's kind of a weird thing. And I'm like, well, it's just kind of the way they do their brown, right? Kind of, sort of,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah, yeah. And they did when they were born in 1969. But the Giants are a great case because they went back to a really retro look when they moved into the then Pac Bell Park in 2000,
And then
right?
Bonds put that on, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've won three World Series with that look. But, if you remember the Arizona Diamondbacks in 1998, Buck Showalter, your Baltimore guy, a big guy with the uniforms. He designed, quote unquote, or he was very in on the process of thinking about what the new Arizona Diamondbacks would look like. And they go out there with this off-white look and pinstripes and off-white hats, right? So that off-white thing was a very big thing 25 years ago. The Giants have stuck with it and it works for them. And it kind of sets them apart in a very subtle way. Again, not trying too hard.
Radom is our guest. He is an artist. He is an author. He is a logo designer. He lives in Philadelphia. He's become unwittingly my friend through Dick Girardi and cheesesteaks and art and his books and my Oilers fascination. I just want to keep going in a direction here of things I've seen recently or things that maybe you've seen recently. The Greyhound bus thing that the Detroit Lions put on, that the silver with it literally looked like they look like Greyhound buses. I know they're Lions. And the Bengals have done the whiteout. The whiteout thing is not just a Penn State thing or a Winnipeg playoff thing. It's now like a thing. And the whitization of jerseys. I know in Cincinnati, every time I bring it up there, it's been like supremely successful there that came around their Super Bowl time. Now they're in the dumper, so much so that Joe Flacco is probably going to sport that white jersey on Thursday Night Football in a couple of weeks against us. But the white thing and the silver thing, that's its own sort of category, right?
Yeah, they're neutral colors, Nestor. And it's like black. Blacks took over sports in the early 1990s, right? When the LA Kings went to black because they kind of looked like the Raiders. They did look like the Raiders. And then the White Sox get into that. And then by the turn of the new millennium, teams that have no business wearing black. What are the Kansas City Royals doing in black? What are the Oakland Athletics doing in black? Everybody
New
looks great
York
in black.
Mets. The
Yeah,
Mets
the New
look like
York
they were
Mets,
wearing their
famously.
pajamas.
That's
Yes.
right. So, kind of flip the script to some degree. I kind of like the white thing for the Bengals because all they did was they just dropped orange. They still looked like the Bengals. And they came up with a marketing narrative about, the white Bengals, and it looks cool. Gray and silver in the NBA, you saw a ton of teams going to gray alternate looks in the last, I don't know, over the last 20 years, really. The New Jersey Nets are out there in gray. The Boston Celtics go out there in gray. It's a neutral look. It's not like the Celtics are going to wear purple, right? God forbid. I mean, it'll
So
never
it's the
happen.
only thing you can do when you're green and white to not F
Yeah,
it up is to go
right.
gray.
And black and black. And so the Celtics, because the NBA has this, very limited attention span, as you and I talked about, and you mentioned it before. You've got the Celtics out there wearing black, wearing gold, whatever that is, but they can't, they've got to paint around the corners from an artistic perspective. A team like the Milwaukee Bucks, who are, they've settled into this green and off-white thing. They're out there in blue. What do they have blue? Like, what, that should be a complementary color. So to get back to all
They
of
need
it,
to look like Kareem to me, or at least Sidney Moncrief, Jack Sigma, something. Yeah.
I mean, but that's a long time ago, right? And you and I are going to get that reference. And it depends on what the franchise is,
Well,
quite
you're in Philly,
frankly.
like the 76ers, they have real heritage to wear things, either Allen Iverson or, but it feels like they can't get out. I mean, every time I look up, they're wearing some sort of pajama that I think is weird.
Well, it's interesting. The Sixers that you reference are running back the Allen Iverson black 2001 look. And that team, of course, went to the NBA Finals. They get smoked by the Lakers, right?
I
But
attended game three of that tournament,
there you
up
go.
on the
And
roof in Philly. Yes.
people love that look. And, it's relatively recent nostalgia. It's associated with Iverson, who's such a. You throw the word iconic around so much these days, but he really is an icon, especially in this city. So that look, which represents a moment in time, and it's really smart for them to form a narrative they're about it, around it. They're not just throwing that out there for the sake of throwing it out there, but they're celebrating a nice round number with it, with running that thing back. And I think it's going to be about the only thing interesting with that franchise this year, Nestor.
Todd Radom is here. He gets my attention when, let's see, it's bye week. World Series is going on. I mean, you are a baseball first guy. How many World Series games have you attended? I got to think 100, right? At least.
Not that many, but my first World Series game I attended as a fan was in 1977 with my father at Yankee Stadium, game one against the Dodgers.
How many did Reggie hit that
None. That was game one.
night?
Yeah, it would have been pretty awesome to be at game six, but you can only do what you can do. And the most recent one I attended was game five at Yankee Stadium last year against the Dodgers, and that was kind of epic. So I've been to a lot of them, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I added mine up. I'm somewhere in the 40s or 50s,
Yeah.
and they haven't. I mean, the Baltimore ones. I was in 79 and 83, and that's all. The rest of them have been other places. And like the, I was in Toronto the night Joe Carter hit the home run in 93, and just I think of all these incredible moments. Being in Atlanta with the Yankees and Leiritz in the home run, like, and that's what where the magic is made here, right? And in the postseason, we talk about the jerseys and how they look and how it makes us feel and all of that stuff. I went to Dodger Stadium as Janet Marie's guest about 4 weeks ago and watched Yamamoto pitch, and I sat downstairs and saw the grandeur of the Dodger brand and thought, well, boy, the Orioles have trouble. No wonder they can't, I mean, look at how much money is here and how rich it is. But it is a great time of the year to celebrate Seattle, Toronto, Milwaukee, other places being involved, and just seeing all of the Brewers fans in different gear. And I haven't made it to Seattle yet to look around, but they got a whole bunch of different looks too that they can go through. It's a celebration. And I think I saw that 11 years ago in Kansas City when I was there for the ALCS when the Orioles played out there. Just seeing all the George Brett's and all the Willie Wilsons and all the Freddie Patek feelings and the tears in the dugout when I was a boy. It is a time for guys our age. I call us old white guys, but Trump doesn't think I'm white, trust me. I would say that all the memories come back, and they're good about it. I was sitting in Cooper's the other night, and they're showing throwbacks to ALDS and ALCS and other matchups. It's a time of nostalgia for anybody that loves baseball, and my team's not in it, right?
Yeah. And I think, listen, baseball gets knocked because of the fact that it leans so heavily into its past and into nostalgia. But the other side of that is they do it so well. And to your point, baseball, like no other sport to me, connects the generations. So seeing those, Brewers jerseys, the Brewers haven't been in a World Series since 1982 when they were in the American League, the only World Series that they've ever appeared in. I kind of love this part of the postseason right now, because to see those fans in Seattle who have never been to a World Series, Milwaukee, yeah, the Dodgers are the Dodgers, but every plot needs a villain. And you've got Toronto, who hasn't won in, a generation. So I think there are some really fun storylines. And the uniforms, to people like you and I at least, are the through line that connects all of that in the stands, at least.
All right, listen, when I get you down here for a crab cake one day, and I'm at Coco's on November 5th, one day I'll get you down here at Rasig, at Coco's specifically, because Rasig is my co-host with a K at Coco's because he lives a block away. And we talk about these things, and look, I wish I. People can come back in an hour and I'll still be bitching about John Harbaugh and accountability, and the team will still be 1-5, and Luke will be there. But I love doing this. And if you're watching out, and I would give a plug to our YouTube channel for all of the thousands of subscribers we have, thank you. And anybody watching on Facebook, this is going to be visual. So if you're on the radio, Todd, since the last time we got together, I collect these crazy belt buckles, right? So I
Yes.
have, it's my rock and roll thing, and I picked up a couple of really rare ones in recent days. I still have a few left I got to get. And I was started to collect the football belt buckle. So I've held up the Atlanta Falcons one. And I had my Baltimore Colts one was my original one. And I've now collected in this series, I'm missing Denver, New Orleans, and Buffalo. This is 1971.
Yeah.
Okay. 1971, NFL properties. All right. I went into a rabbit hole. As some of us can do, add on the EBAY. All right. You're familiar with this? You've been down
Oh,
that rabbit
I
hole?
think so. I think,
All
yeah.
right. So, and they know what I like, right? They know what I buy. The algorithm has me up in. And stuff started popping up. And I think this was the first one I saw. And I'm going to show it to you. And you're going to say, wow. So, this popped up on my screen.
Yeah.
It is a San Francisco Giants 1969
Yeah.
logo. And I saw that and I'm like, these look like the 1971 Sears and Roebuck catalog. I found the catalog for the 71s in the mid 70s. And they made different ones in 78. The 78s are a little different. So I could, the 78s were, have, they were made with Lee jeans, LEE, and they're made a little smaller and they're made a little more glossy. So the 78s are different. Of course, there wouldn't have been a 71 Buccaneers because they didn't exist, right? So the 69 baseball series, I went into the rabbit hole and I thought, wonder what I'll find and how cool it will look. So I then immediately found the, I found three of these that I bought at the same time, much more affordable than you think. I got an Orioles and I got a St. Louis Cardinals. And the Cardinals logo is so sort of weirdly old that it feels 50s, but
Yeah.
it's a 69 Lou Brock, but feels much more Stan Musial, right?
Yeah. And the Cardinals, a very traditional organization, Nestor, right? Especially at that point in time. But I look at that 1969 Orioles. You can't help but think of the World Series, even if you and I didn't. I have no memories of it. I was alive for it. But those are great looking, and they bring back so many memories. And I first thing I thought, 1969, a huge licensing and souvenir year for baseball, because baseball celebrated its 100th anniversary,
And they had the
right?
patches on the
Yeah, every
sleeves.
team had the patch. Just about every team had the patch. The Pirates didn't wear it. They had sleeveless jerseys at that time, right? So the Pirates didn't wear it. But
I have a
anyway.
69 Aparicio powder blue White Sox jersey, and it has the patch. It has the Major League Baseball player
Yep.
on it, right?
The Seattle Pilots.
I'm wondering if there was a Seattle Pilots one made. I'm holding up the state of Ohio with the Indians Guardians logo we can't talk about anymore,
Yeah.
and this the Sparky Anderson big red machine. So
Yeah.
like when I hold this up and I hold this up, it's like the 1970 World Series is coming together and it's raining out and Earl Weaver's talking ish to Sparky. So I have these on the wall and they haven't like $20, right? So, and I feel like maybe one day they'll be worth $1,000. I don't know, but I'm having fun with this. But I did want to show you the 1959 Go-Go Sox World Series. So I found the White Sox and the Dodgers with the red. And I learned that they since went away from the red flaming baseball and went to more of a blue trail in the flames. If you go look at it,
It's still red. It's been updated though.
it's less rain or something like that. It looks different.
It's a little streamlined, made more modern for the 21st century, let's put it that way, for digital use. And you talked about going with Janet Marie Smith, getting a tour of Dodger Stadium. I've done that too. Just fascinating. And she's brought back so much of the history, which was literally like stowed away in the basement. But Nestor, I want to point out that to me, the first thing I noticed when you held up the Orioles and the Reds, look at those logos and look how kind of silly they are and how
They're
much
whimsical. They're
fun.
cartoonish,
They're
right?
fun, right? Our
They're
sports
fun.
logos got really mean and intimidating at a certain point, which I can pinpoint, but another discussion for
Where is
another
that?
day.
Tell me. You're teaching me.
I think,
Professor
late 80s, early
Conrad.
90s.
All right.
Yeah,
Okay.
by the mid-90s, all these expansion teams and franchises that moved,
Wanted to
think
look
about all
tough.
the angry animals, the Vancouver Grizzlies of the world, and the Blue Jays that we've talked about. How they went from kind of a cheery bird to a very intimidating bird. And it's interesting, Nestor, I've talked to and I've gotten to know the guy who was responsible for that first Blue Jays logo. Great, great guy named Richard Walker. And he said that the original Blue Jay, that glint in the eye, seems a little innocent, but it's about like a spark of something, a little light bulb going on there, right?
That's
It
very
doesn't have
Canadian,
to.
right? That's very Canadian.
Very
We'll
Canadian,
sneak
that's
up
right.
on you, right?
Yeah, and it's a great logo. I've got an autograph of his on my wall behind
You
me.
know, it's funny, man. The Seahawks were 76 logo. That's a pretty nasty looking Seahawk, right? That
And
Seahawk looks like he's going to come at you, man.
it's based on an actual piece of native art in a museum up there. So it has a great story behind it.
Dude, you're so smart. Todd Radom's here. He's an artist, and I've learned. My 57th birthday was yesterday. By the way, happy birthday to
Happy
Jim,
birthday.
no, to Jim Palmer, because today's his birthday. So we celebrate. He's always the day after me. You know, it always works
Peace.
that way. The same every year. And I think I've learned that I am attracted to bright, shiny objects. I'm like a shark in the water, you know what I mean? And things to me, like seeing this White Sox, which looks more Bill Melton to me than
It's
Luis Aparicio. Yeah,
Dick
it's
Allen.
Dick Allen, it's Goose Gossage, it's Bill Melton. Yeah, I would agree with that, right? So they're all associated, but I did wonder aloud because a lot of these belts, I haven't found them. Okay, don't tell anybody. There's a Rangers one and a Twins one that I'm going to be getting before the week's over. I have seen the Milwaukee Brewers one, but I have not been able to purchase it. I have never seen whether I'll give you some teams: Astros, Braves, Royals, Pilots. Seattle Pilots. But I wondered if the Phillies one existed and what it would look like logo-wise, and I found it. And dude, I found it on the actual belt. So the Phillies one is the bubble pea. It is maroon and not bright candy red. So I have this one. And I have an Oakland A's one over here. I have a beautiful Detroit Tigers. Hold on. I'm gonna pull these up for you, Radom, because tell
I
everybody
want to
about
see
your
them.
books. Plug your books and I'm gonna get more of these belt buckles. Go ahead.
So the big story is I have a new book coming out on April 28th, 2026, and it's called The Ballpark and Beyond. It is an illustrated celebration of 150 years of baseball history. A lot of great little stories, including something about Camden Yards and something about the 1890s Baltimore Orioles, right in your wheelhouse in both instances. So that's forthcoming, and I will be shilling that as the months go by and as we get closer to pub.
You know what? You're such an old nerd about sports. You just went 1890s Orioles on me. I took you all over the city of Baltimore in my car. I took you everywhere. I took you past Memorial Stadium, that's now the Y. I mean, you wanted to go to Hopkins. Your wife's an art fart, so like you want to see galleries, and like we did all of that stuff. We had French toast, which was in my top 12, I think, on my tastiness. So I took you to one of my great places. I didn't think to take you over to the original Oriole Park, which is now a brewery,
Next time.
and it's
Next time.
literally we went right by it. It's by the Hopkins campus. It's where it burned down on the 4th of July in the 40s. All of that. It is literally a little homage to the pre-Memorial Stadium Orioles, but it's got modern stuff in there too. And here's the thing that's the coolest thing. Are you ready? So I'm gonna take you there. We're gonna drink beer. My buddy John Spurrier, dreadlocks, man. He brings reggae bands down there. He lives a couple blocks away. His wife is Odette Ramos, our councilwoman, whom I love. She's our Latina councilwoman, who's anti-ice except in drinks. And so you can get an ice and a drink there, and then we can walk back into the gaming room. If I tell people this, if it gets out, there's gonna be a line. They have the Rush pinball machine. So when you play the pinball machine there, it just play like, and when it goes through, it'll play Fly By Night. It plays Free Will. It plays song. It plays Big Money.
I've never heard of a, such a pinball machine. That's amazing.
So they had, yeah. So you can drink at the old Oriole Park and play the Rush pinball machine. Maybe hear some reggae. Usually some really pretty co-eds there from Johns Hopkins, and so it's nice. So I have a few more logos to share. Todd Radom's here. He writes books. He's got another one coming out next year. He's plugged it. Anything else you want to plug? I mean, I will plug your old books, right? Should I
Yeah, I mean,
start in the
I, Winning
beginning?
Ugly, my loving homage to some of the most air quote questionable uniforms in the history of Major League Baseball. That's still in print.
So I don't have to ask you what the ugliest jersey. You wrote a book on the ugliest jerseys,
Yeah,
right?
I mean, well, you can't just have one, right? There are a bunch of them. And then Fabric of the Game, which I co-wrote with my buddy in Toronto, Chris Creamer from sportslogos.net, which is a look at the NHL and how every team in the history of the NHL got their name and their looks.
Including the Hartford Whalers.
And not only the Hartford Whalers, Nestor, but the Quebec Athletics of the very beginning of the league, the Pittsburgh Pirates of the 1920s, the Quebec Nordiques, the Philadelphia Quakers, a one-year franchise during the Depression. It's really every franchise in the history of the league, the Oakland Seals go down the line.
Oh, but it's like you're reading my script. It's like you're reading my
We
mind.
got.
So one of my dearest friends in the world, by the way, I've texted with Barry Trotz this morning, so I'm coming up to Philly to see him when the Predators come in a couple of weeks. But my original, my OG, wasn't Trotzy, even though we're the same age and I love Trotzy and he's going to the Hall of Effing Fame, as Earl Weaver would say. But Gene Ubriaco was my original mentor in hockey and my original coach. I had Marvin Lewis on this week, who was my original football mentor. And we did an hour of how to rush the quarterback this week on the air. So please find all that at Baltimore Positive. But Ubi, when you Google Gene Ubriaco and you Google image, the picture that comes up is the Oakland Seals hockey card. And I always tease him with that because who would know what they look like? Or the Seattle Pilots. I had Kenny Mayne on. He grew up in Seattle. He went to six state. It's SICK apostrophe S, six stadium.
That's right.
People be hearing about that because the Mariners are in and the Pilots became the Brewers and like all that. But nonetheless, Todd, I'd go down the trap with all this, but I do want to show you these cool 1969. I've gotten a few more. So I've got Pirates, I've got Tigers. I've got Yankees, and I got a perfect Yankee one. It's so beautiful. I have not found the original Red Sox one, although the Red Sox made one in 2004 that looks the way it would look. But I do have an Oakland A's one, but I haven't found Padres. I haven't found Royals. Is there a point where Major League Baseball back then might not have made? Maybe the Saints opted out of the NFL, and I just will never find a Saints win, or that the Padres or the Expos were not established enough, or the Pilots to have even made these things.
All of those are out there, Nestor. And I just looked to my left because I have, and I'm going to find this and I will text you an image of it. I have a catalog from 1969 with all of this MLB merch. So all of
Screenshot.
these
I need a
teams,
screenshot of that for sure. Yeah.
I'll get it to you. There was this very concerted licensing effort. The NFL was way ahead of things, as they are with most things in terms of generating revenue. And they started pushing stuff out in terms of stuff, right? Licensed stuff in the early 60s. MLB started to catch up in the late 60s. And in 1969, again, 100th anniversary of Major League Baseball, they pooled together their resources as individual clubs. Answer is all of this stuff is out there. The Blue Jays, interestingly enough, when they came on in 1977, they were not part of that licensing agreement because they were Canadian. I don't know why the Expos were in and the Blue Jays were out, but the Blue Jays went with a private label licensing division, basically, and they sold so much stuff in Canada when they first came on the scene. They were generating gobs of revenue, and they eventually joined the whole thing. Those things are out there, Nestor.
Well, the backs of all of these belt buckles that I have all say Orbit, the HI Orbit company. They were the ones that made the belt buckles for baseball, football, and by the way, I'll throw this at you too, and this will be your homework here because I picked up a couple of these. I don't have any of the hockey ones. There's a New York Rangers and an Islanders and a Buffalo Sabres as well, but I have since picked up these
Oh,
from the
nice.
era, and this is the craziest one here. This is the Sacramento Kings were in Kansas City, Omaha. So it
Yeah.
says Kansas City, Omaha, like the Capitol Bullets were a thing here for a minute as well. But I did pick up the Knicks because I thought it was just so attractive and so
That's
cool with the
beautiful.
basketball. These logos are just. Todd, you're an artist. You grew up into this and probably were your whole life was inspired by one of these logos or some Oilers jersey you
A
saw
lot of them,
when you
yeah.
were a kid. Seeing the original logos, it's a marvel who these artists, because it does sort of look like Snoopy and Peanuts, right? I mean, the style of it, right?
Yeah, and if you're in 1968 and you're going to design a logo for the New York Knicks, very different world in terms of how it's going to be used. But, what do you put on there, Nestor? What is a
A
knickerbocker?
basketball.
It's a basketball. And now I'm thinking of having had lunch with Walt Frazier probably about 8 years ago. What an amazing guy. I've got a picture of him and me, and he's got his two NBA championship rings, the only two championships the Knicks have ever won, of course.
Clyde, baby, Clyde.
Yeah, what? And he's wearing a coat that looks like an upholstered
Every
couch.
time he's next to Kenny Albert, I say, Kenny, you're underdressed, dog. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like,
the
literally, you know?
coolest guy in the world, right? And a very good guy too.
Oh, legendarily. All right. So it's not often that I hold Knicks logos up, but when I do, it's for Todd Radom. His books are available. He is available. He podcasts and says things and designs things. This last question for you, because we've done a lot of complaining here. You're always very generous with your time. When my football team's 1-5, we're in a bye week, and I want to talk about something that's on my mind, which these jerseys and logos and all this stuff's on my mind. Have you seen anything lately that you love? Have there been a couple of things that like, oh, I haven't seen that. I love that. Because I kind of want to do that with you. I want to be on the lookout and text you a thing and say, I've never seen that before, but it looks good.
Well, it's interesting you say this because, we can all hate on anything new. Everybody hates everything new. And our tortured civic dialogue, particularly online, basically means that, people pile onto stuff. But I got to tell you, I like the Utah Mammoth. I like the name of the Utah Mammoth. I like the logo. I like the colors. I like what they've come up with. And so, it's a very visible example, but I kind of like it.
I see the Kraken play and it looks like an NHL jersey. It doesn't look like
Absolutely.
it belongs in the California Roller Skating League. You know what I
I
mean?
love it. I think it's great. The colors are awesome. It looks like Seattle, right? The colors look like Seattle in the same way, to a lesser extent, the Mariners look like Seattle.
All right. If I find a Supersonics belt buckle, I'll let you know. I'll
Oh,
let
that's
everybody
the
in
king. That
Seattle
is
know.
the Jack Sikma. Slick Watts with the headband.
Man, with the it had that logo had everything, right? It had the cityscape. I mean,
Yeah.
it looks like a Fraser Crane a commercial, right? Like
Yeah,
that logo,
exactly.
right?
You see the lettering and the whole thing. Nestor, real quick, one of the little chapters that I have in my forthcoming book talks about the birth of the internet for baseball, how we watched baseball, how we got scores. The Mariners were the first professional sports team in North America to come out with a website. And what they did was their plan was to give players' email addresses out to fans, the equivalent of writing a letter to them. Probably not such a good idea.
Well, I mean, if somebody's handling the inbox, I don't know how they would have done that for Ichiro, though. You know what I
In
mean? Like,
Ken Griffey Jr. in 1994, can you imagine?
just Jay Buhner alone. Everybody loved Jay Buhner,
Yeah,
too. So,
absolutely. George Costanza.
absolutely. Todd Radom is here. He is an author, artist, and logo designer. He's designed Super Bowl logos and all sorts of things that you've seen. And he is our friend from the fighting city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I will be attending some concerts in future dates and eating cheesesteaks. And I found an unbelievable cheesesteak Italian beef joint and of all places in Wilmington, Delaware. So I've got a new joint and new reasons to pass through. And I don't even have to go over to Delaware Bridge. So right on this side of the bridge. And I put that out on the internet too. Hey, Todd, you're making me hungry for throwback football. And yeah, by the way, I heard that the Oilers aren't wearing, or the Titans aren't wearing the Oilers because they've just gotten their ass kicked too much. So we
Yeah.
won't be seeing these. I just hope that I see Derrick Henry in purple running for more yardage than we have lately, because crappy football stinks even more than crappy baseball, especially one after the other. We're struggling down here, Todd. Ever since you came in this summer, it's all falling apart, man.
You're blaming me? You're
No,
blaming
I'm
me?
not blaming you, dude. I mean, I only blame you when the Orioles wear those orange, whatever that thing is, where
Traffic
they
cones, the pylon look?
Look like pumpkins, and not like in a good Pat Dobson, Mike Cuellar kind of way. So, those are what we call throw ups, not throwbacks. So, Todd Radom is here. He is our defending champion. I appreciate him coming on. There will be crab cakes at some point for him, for you, for me. I'm going to be at Coco's on the 5th of November. We will have Raven scratch offs to give away, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. And of course, our friends at Curia Wellness and Foreign Daughter sent me out for tastiness, where I had things like a Philly pretzel at the Philly Pretzel Factory on day 27. So I did the countdown because we are 27 years into this, and I'm still trying to do good programming during bye weeks, especially when they're 1-5. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking logos and jerseys and fun and throwbacks and throw-ups and how the Ravens can't wear the flying B anymore. That's a long story. Still makes David Modell very angry.